We are in this series that's going to probably take a while, and it's on purpose because we're learning how to shift the culture. And shifting the culture is not just a culture thing on the outside of the church walls. People need to be honest, and we have to be honest and say that church has developed a culture. And in some instances, church culture is not God culture. So we have to shift it. And there's a blueprint. Last week we dealt with a season of fulfillment. And I don't know about anybody else, but that literally set me free for a whole week. If you weren't here, go to the website. It'll give you some basis. But we're talking about the establishment of a promise today. We're dealing with the establishment of the temple. I'm into it already. I'm into the, you've heard the scripture. Your Bibles better be open to the text. 2 Chronicles 6, 12 through 17. We're in chapter 6 and 7 for the duration of this series. It's going to take a while, and we're going to take our time with it. Amen.
Amen.
The establishment of the temple was now an opportunity for the people of Israel to finally have an established place to go and worship God. It was finally the fulfillment of something that was in the heart of David to do. History teaches us that David wanted to build a house for God, and as much as it was in his heart to do, God said, "Your hands are not clean enough to do it." Which reminds us that just because God promises us certain things doesn't mean that all things are fulfilled in our time. God said to David that because of how you approach life and how you approach me, even in the midst of your mess ups, you decide to come back to me, repent, adjust your life and your circumstances. I'm going to make certain that through your line, there will never fail to be a king on the throne. And that promise was given to David and fell upon Solomon. Even within the children that David had, Solomon was not necessarily the one that was supposed to be next in line. It's part of Solomon's interesting story. Solomon was not the heir apparent, but apparently, he was the right one for the job. We know that when Solomon was called to this and chosen by God, he was confronted with an interesting question in the midst of a dream. I haven't referenced this yet, but he was asked, "Which one do you want? Wisdom or stuff?" I'm paraphrasing. Solomon answers and said, "Give me wisdom that I can lead your people." And God not only gave him wisdom, but we know in the span of his life that he was given more than just wisdom, but the kingdom advanced exponentially under his rule, creating more treaties and more opportunities to receive financial advancement that than at any other time, going back to Saul, who was the first king of Israel. The kingdom grew. Solomon had something else in mind too. He couldn't really get in his mind that God still didn't have a house befitting a universal monarch, for God is ruler over all. So he decided to go back into the storehouse where his father had already saved up, if you will. Because remember, David had already acquired all kind of material to build the temple, but God said, "I don't care what you've acquired, your hands can't touch this." So Solomon went back saw what had been left, and was able to add to it. And finally, the moment had come to construct this massive place where God's presence could dwell. And here we are at opening day, the ribbon cutting. And he has already begun to speak to the people. But at this point in the text, his attention shifts back to God Almighty, having an intimate moment with God in the midst of a public ceremony.
All right, now.
He stands at the altar, looks up to God. And before anything else goes on, he starts off with praise. Oh, Lord God of Israel, there is no God like you in heaven or in earth. Keeping covenant, showing steadfast love to your servants who walk before you with all their heart, who have kept with your servant David, my father, who what you declared to him. You spoke with your mouth. He transitions from praise to the promise. You spoke with your mouth, and with your hand have fulfilled it this day. Now, therefore, O Lord God of Israel, keep for your servant David, my father, what you have promised him, saying, you shall not lack a man to sit before me on the throne of Israel. But there's one little nuance that most people skip over. Solomon said this: if only your sons pay close attention to their way, and to walk in my law as you have walked before me. Then he says, now therefore, this is the embracing. Now therefore, O Lord, let your word be confirmed. We're in a season where we need to know that God's promises are true, that God's promises are real. And most of the time, we're waiting on the promise to be fulfilled before our eyes before we accept it being true. Even those that have great faith and demonstrate great faith to the point where they say, you know, speak it as if it's already happened. Scripture is true when you do that. But sometimes even the most faithful still want to see evidence. Even people who have demonstrated great faith still want to see evidence. But maybe we've been teaching this thing without proper context. Can I argue this for a second? I promise I'm not going to try to take long. Maybe it's not the fact that we're waiting to see tangible evidence of something God has promised. But maybe it's the fact that we haven't been taught how to actually lay hold to the promise correctly. For instance, listen to the prayer again. Solomon is saying, you said this to my daddy. And when you said it to my daddy, somewhere down the line, I got a hold of it.
Well.
So it's something that is known among us. So I am obligated to do one of two things as a free thinking moral agent of the world. Either I lay hold to that thing with all my might, or I sit back passively and hope that it's going to come to pass. Y'all with me? Cool. All right. There's some things that God has told you that you're still shaky about. And you're shaky about it because of what you're dealing with and what you're going through. And the shifting that has to happen right now is, if God said it, and I know this is simple because we always say it, but we don't always believe it. If God said it, it's already done. God said it, it's already done. But here's the kicker. You and I have to actually what? Grab hold to it. But how do you really begin to grab hold to it so it moves from being an idea in your head to being something that is established forever?
Amen.
Let's go. Like I said, I'm almost there. I'm actually going to shorten this thing to where we can get it. To really receive the promise from God, there has to be three things that comes from us. First thing is that you have to have vulnerability with the Creator. You have to have vulnerability with the Creator. Watch this. He's king. Right? Kings don't bow to anybody. Kings don't begin to speak about things that matter to them unless they know for certain that their minds are made up. What did this man do? I probably should have had the visual aids with my own vessels. He stands before the people at the altar. And what does the text say? Text says he stands there, arms outstretched.
Yes.
And begins to declare things that others may not have known. That God had already established that it would be David's line forever. That even beyond just talking about who would be king of Israel, that the Savior was going to come.
Yes.
It's not in the text, but we're talking about what? Establishment of who would be what? Who would reign? You said, God, that the house of David would reign. So I stand before you today in the midst of all this assembly.
Yes.
To look you in the face and remind you of what you promised me. Because there may be days that I don't feel like the promise you gave.
Oh, yes.
There are days when I may question myself. There are days as a leader, I will stand before you and wonder, am I doing this thing right?
Even though you
gave me what you promised me.
Yes.
So I stand here at the altar of your house. I'm not waiting on a priest to come. I'm not waiting on anybody else to come. As the leader that you have assigned, I stand before you, arms outstretched.
Yes.
Amen.
Because I know what you told me in private.
Yes, sir.
But I'm going to expose my vulnerability in public.
Yes, sir.
Because even as I say this, God, I know there may be those that are out to get me. I know there are those that may come along and try to stop what you have established. I know that there may be dangers seen and unseen. There are things that I don't know may come from the left or the right. But right now I stand before you knowing what you said to me. And if I declare it out of my own mouth and not wait on other folk to declare it for me, then maybe, just maybe, thing will become real to me.
Yes.
Have you ever been in a position where you had to tell it for yourself?
Yes.
You had to begin to speak things over your own life.
Yes.
You waiting on other folk to try to speak for you and be affirmative towards you, and folk just looking at you crazy. They say you lost your mind. You ain't gonna make it. You're not gonna survive. And you begin to shrink back, like saying, maybe this ain't real. But sometimes you got to find yourself in the presence of the Almighty, even when you look nuts and crazy. Be vulnerable enough to say, God, I'm stepping out on this thing, knowing what you said to me. And if you said it, I'm stepping out and saying, I believe it. Let them look at me like I'm a fool. Let them try to do what they want. But I trust you, even in this. We got to stop waiting for fulfillment when it begins with actually saying, I don't know when, I don't know where, and I don't know how, but that don't matter. You said it. Chaplain, you know what God promised you. Let me speak it to your life real quick. Since you're here today, and I know you're always ministering and stuff like that, I've heard on the backside of the struggle. I've heard about what you're going through. But let me speak directly, not only as your pastor, but in a prophetic moment right now, God has already said it. And if God said it, there ain't a barrier. It's already done. You're already there. The hands are already laid upon you. Somebody needs to get to a place where you understand that it has to come out of your mouth. We sing the songs, but it's time to start believing them. I've come too far. Number two. You got to have humility before the world. You got to have humility before the world. The posture of Solomon was not a kingly posture. He was in this moment like everybody else. Look at it. He stood before the altar, spread out his hands. Then what happened? He knelt on his knees. He started here, and then he ended up on his knees. Everything going forward, let me give you a preview. Everything in his prayer going forward is not from standing up. It is on his knees. A leader who is unwilling to bow before the Lord is unfit to lead. A person who is unwilling to bow before the Lord who gave you life is unfit to embrace the promise. Listen, if God gave you a promise, you don't gotta be arrogant with it. I remember, and I'm taught about this. My mom always gives another side of the story. She tried to clean it up recently. She don't like my version, but it's my version and I'm sticking to it. When I got ready to go to college my senior year, I visited Kentucky State University. That was the only college I visited basically during the summer. I visited other schools. I had other schools in mind. I was getting opportunities to apply to all kinds of schools. I remember. Don't let the smooth taste fool you. I'm for real smart. I'm not just smart. I'm for real smart. I remember all the applications that people gave me. Colgate, Rochester. Some even tried that stuff. Say, why don't you meet with the guy from West Point because he's at the school. You got the grades and stuff, why not? I was like, well, I ain't trying to go in the military. Ivy League schools, HBCUs, The Ohio State University. I had options.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
But God said, K-State. So when God, this was the first time in my life that I was ever so clear about something God said. And I said, all right, then that's the only school that I want to apply to. You said it. That means you're going to make a way. My mom said, just apply at Ohio State. You're going to be able to get in all that stuff. Yeah, I applied, got full scholarship. But that wasn't where God said go. And I had to stand on a conviction in the face of my mother. And I said, God told me Frankfort, Kentucky. Because what I needed was going to be there. Full scholarship waiting on me at Ohio State. But then one day I got a letter. And it was a $500 book scholarship from Kentucky State. My mom looked at it and she looked at me like, that ain't nothing. But I looked at her and I said, absolutely nothing. I just started to smile. Because in my mind, I was like, that's only the beginning. And here comes the Whitney M. Young Scholarship. Here comes the full ride. Here comes the Presidential Scholarship. Here comes I Know I Can. And before it was all said and done, I had so much money that I had the ability to give back $5,000 so somebody else could do something with it. And when I looked at my mom when I signed and did all that stuff on the first day when I went to school, she looked almost amazed, like, you actually got options like this. And I looked at her, I said, hey, nothing but. When you bow before God, when you submit yourself to God, you don't have to do a whole lot of talking. All you need to do is let God do the work. Let God do the work and watch how God will work. All you got to do while you're on your knees is begin to praise God for what He's already promised. Because even if it hasn't come to pass yet, guess what? He's already working it out. And because God is already working it out, and you ain't going around barking like, hey, it's already happening, it's already this. And then God embarrasses you because you begin to say, like, it's you. God is watching to see, are you really going to trust me? For all that Solomon had, he bowed. You got to show humility. Because when God elevates you,
yes, sir,
your response is,
yes,
nobody but the Lord.
Nobody.
When they begin to praise you, you begin to praise God. When they begin to try to exalt you, you better get back and exalt God. Because you know where you've been, what you've done, and what it took just to get here. And when you know how far the Lord brought you, that ought to bring a shout out of your belly.
Hallelujah.
Gotta teach people how to embrace this right. Gotta have vulnerability with the Creator, humility before the world with the last name. You just have to have confidence over the word that's spoken. Watch this. Here's the verse. Here's the verse. And I'm through. Now, therefore, O Lord God of Israel, let your word be confirmed. I'd have talked about it, but this is Solomon's confidence. This is Solomon's confidence. Now that I've put myself out there, now that I've shown that I'm trusting in you, now that the world has seen me before you, let it be done. And if you read the scripture, he talked about his stuff no more. I'm through. Once you say it, and once you show God you trust him, all you got to do is say four letters that turn into one word. Amen. What you talking about, Reverend? What you talking about? Do you know what the word amen means? It means so be it. It means it is so. So after you've done all that praying, after you've said all you need to say, after you've gone before God and people have looked at you and everything else, don't load up and try to defend what God is doing. Don't do nothing else. Just say amen. I know that the prayer is longer than this, but this part of the prayer wasn't for the people. It was for Solomon. And Solomon had to let you know what God had already told him about himself. And he had to stay there and let it be known. I'm not going to make it unless God is there. And because I know God is there, and because I know what God said, I am confident that he will come through. So after it's all been said and done, step back and just say amen. I don't care what it is. Look at God and say, I trust you, and just say amen. When it comes to what you're going through, look at what you're going through. Look at what God promised you and step back and just say amen. Just say it is so. Everything you promised me, it is so. Let your word be confirmed. So, stop weeping over what others don't understand. Change your grip. Okay. So when a baseball player gets up to the plate and they have a certain swing, and sometimes good hitters always say they know what pitches are best for them and all that kind of stuff, but when they need to get a hit, they have to adjust their grip, because you can't grip the bat the same way for every pitch. You can't grip the bat the same way when you're trying to do something. There's some guys, all they try to do are hit home runs. But they strike out a lot. But great hitters adjust so they can get the desired result. If you want the promise of God to happen, stop being passive and adjust your grip. Lay hold to it now before you see it happen. Lay hold to it when God says it. And then put a grip on it by saying, amen. Don't wait until you see it. Already know it's there. And when you grip it right, God will begin to use you to show others how God can fulfill in major ways. I'm finished. You may be here today.